sunny sky, ending the weekend. A large selection of farm equipment, the Perkins Estate Gun and Antique Tractor Collection, construction equipment, and more. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, March 24th through the 26th. Henderson Auctions, exit 22 off I-12 in Livingston, Louisiana. Check it out at hendersonauctions.com. Auctioneer Jay Henderson, number 1160. To preview, go now to hendersonauctions.com.
The views and opinions expressed during this show are those of the host and guests only. In no way do they represent the views, positions, or opinions expressed or implied of WGSO 990 AM or North Shore Broadcasting LLC.
This is the big
John Mason Show. Heard on 540 AM KTIB, 1020 AM WHMD, 1540 AM KAGY, 1560 AM WSLA, 88.5 FM KJFM, and 990 AM WGSO. Come talk to Big John about the big ideas of the day in a convivial atmosphere. He's a real conservative, not one of those country club Republicans. He's pro-family, pro-education, pro-business, pro-life, pro-Second Amendment. And he loves his mama, too. Now here's your host, the big guy himself, John Mason.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, let me start off with an apology for yesterday. I had teased a special guest, and I was ready to go. I just had a hearing that morning, and my client at that hearing had a medical emergency during the hearing, and that's pretty scary, so I couldn't make yesterday. I'm still hoping to have my guest on today. It's Wednesday, March 23rd, 2022. Let me go ahead and give you the call-in number. It's 504-556-9696. That's area code 504-556-9696. All right. I'm sure it's no surprise to anyone that lives in southeast Louisiana to hear that a pretty big tornado tore through Araby, which, of course, is in St. Bernard Parish. It's being described as a suburb of New Orleans. I think the people in Araby are fiercely proud of being in St. Bernard, but suburb of New Orleans is true enough. And I had to go to St. Bernard this morning on another legal matter, and I can tell you there are houses that are destroyed, there are trees that are down, the stoplights on the main thoroughfares are, most of them aren't working, some are, some aren't. And, of course, the St. Bernard Parish Coroner's Office said that at least one person, 25-year-old Connor Lambert, died in that storm. So thoughts, prayers, support, and love for the people of Araby and St. Bernard Parish. And if you can help, please do. Okay, moving right along, I'm going to do a promo for a colleague tomorrow night at 613 Clearview Parkway, Metairie, is the Politics with a Punch 20th anniversary show. That, of course, is Jeff Carrere's live show. And it's at doors open at 6 p.m., but the show begins at 8 p.m. And it's the 20th anniversary. And the panel has been announced. He's got a wide variety of impressive people, including Louis Gervich, chairman of the Louisiana Republican Party, Dominic Impostato, councilman of Jefferson Parish District 4, Vince Vance, singer-comedian, Mimi Carrere, author, historic preservationist, co-host of He Said, She Said, right here on WGSO. It is a pretty good panel. About the only way it could be better is if I were on it. So I'm not suggesting that you call up Jeff and demand that I be on a panel. I'm just strongly hinting it. I will be there tomorrow night, somewhere between 6 and 8, and I'll stay for the show. It's generally a pretty good time. If you'd like to show up, I'd be delighted to see you there. All right. There are a lot of things going on in Louisiana, but I want to talk about one that happened pretty recently. Vice President Kamala Harris came to St. Landry Parish, and she gave a little speech in Sunset, Louisiana. And it's a pretty amazing speech. So I'm going to give it to you in gentle mockery I am making fun. And look, I slip up on the air. I say one word when I need it, mean another. It happens, especially if you're doing a live show or extemporaneous speaking. And I don't know that this was a prepared speech, but I think it's important enough to go ahead and read it. This is our Vice President, Kamala Harris. Quote, "The governor and I and we were all doing a tour of the library here and talking about the significance of the passage of time, right? The significance of the passage of time. So when you think about it, there is great significance to the passage of time in terms of what we need to do to lay these wires, what we need to do to create these jobs. And there is such great significance to the passage of time. When we think about a day in the life of our children and what that means to the future of our nation, depending on whether or not they have the resources they need to achieve their God-given talent. So today, I'm so happy to be with all of you." Well, ladies and gentlemen, at least she was happy. Now, I purposely didn't tell you what she was speaking about. Can you guess? She was in town to promote high-speed broadband internet to rural areas of Louisiana. Now, you know this is a cause that is near and dear to my heart. The internet is not going to become any less important over the next 5 or 10 years, ladies and gentlemen. It's just not. And although virtual learning has shown itself to be a failure for young children, adults are very fond of telework. Also, to save money, we're going more and more to telemedicine. Now, one of the things I'm standing firm on is a lot of lawyers love Zoom conferencing, but sometimes justice demands that you face your accuser. Not that you stare at him across a Zoom screen or stare at her across a Zoom screen. Some things are best done in person. Medicine is one of them. When a doctor can feel an injury, see how you react, not just ask you about it. Internet and telemedicine and telelaw are not panaceas. Nonetheless, more and more adult work is going to be done over the internet. And Louisiana's just not there. We need more rural broadband. We can't have adults out in a parking lot of a Starbucks or a McDonald's to get Wi-Fi access. We just can't. So the vice president was here to promote accessible high-speed internet in rural Louisiana. And I just keep breaking this down. The governor and I and we were all doing a tour of the library here. Okay, that's nice. You're doing a tour of the library, the governor and I and we. But this, the significance of the passage of time. What in the wide, wide world of sports does that have to do with broadband internet? The significance of the passage of time. It happens, she says that phrase, 4 times in a little 2-paragraph speech. And, of course, it wouldn't be a speech if it didn't have that Harris cackle. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. She sounds like the Wicked Witch of the West, and no, I'm not saying she's a pagan or a witch. I'm not being anti-female. The qualifications we have to go through are ridiculous. You can criticize someone without hating them because they're a minority or a woman or anything else. But this wokeness has evolved because of the significance of the passage of time. No, I kid. It has nothing to do with the significance of the passage of time. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, that speech is incoherent, and it's word salad. It's just word salad. Okay, there is plenty more going on in Louisiana, but I have managed to talk the entire first segment away. So we'll be back on the other side of this brief commercial break. Thank you for listening to the Wednesday edition of the Big John Mason Show. We'll be right back.
Live it, love it, defend it. Life needs you today. This is the Louisiana Life Minute.
Hi, I'm Ben Clapper with Louisiana Right to Life. When we face the sad reality that over 2,500 abortions take place every day, it is understandable that sometimes we don't know where to start to make a difference. But I have good news. There is something each of us can do to save lives. And who knows, God may be calling you to do something specific for life. You can take a moment to pray for life and consider peacefully praying at an abortion facility for moms and babies. You can help with a pro-life group at your church, and if there isn't one, you can consider starting one. You can support a pregnancy center by volunteering or donating. You can get a Choose Life license plate on your car, or simply just talk to people about life and abortion. Regardless of how small you think your contribution may be, little by little, our collective action saves lives. Just consider this. Statistics show that abortion numbers are lower than ever before. Visit us at prolifelouisiana.org to get involved today.
Donate your vehicle and make a difference. WGSO 990 AM has partnered with Charitable Adult Rides and Services, also known as CARS, to allow you the opportunity to donate your car, truck, motorcycle, RV, or boat to our nonprofit organization. You may qualify for a tax deduction while supporting a cause that is near and dear to your heart. Simply go to WGSO.com and follow the link on our homepage. Vehicle donation pickup is always free to you, and most vehicles can be picked up within 24 to 72 hours. You'll receive an initial car donation receipt upon pickup, and then the CARS team will work to turn your car into cash to support our cause. Once your vehicle is sold, the CARS team will provide you proper tax forms in time to file. Their friendly donor support representatives are available 7 days a week to assist throughout the process. Again, for more information, go to WGSO.com.
Hey, all, Brian Diaz here, host of the NOLA Drink Show. Kick off your weekend happy hour with me every Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. right here on WGSO 990 AM New Orleans.
Why was the basketball court all wet?
Because the players kept dribbling on it.
The dad joke. Corny, groan-worthy, but also one of the simplest ways to share a moment with your kids.
What did the buffalo say when he dropped his son off for school?
Bye, son.
So take a moment to make your kid laugh, because dad jokes rule. Make your kid laugh today. Go to fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Join me, BJ Rust, every weekday at 6 p.m. for the Something to Say radio show. We'll talk sports, music, current events, everything in between. That's weekdays, 6 p.m. only on WGSO 990 AM.
Hi, I'm William Wallace. You can hear me live on Tuesday nights at 5 o'clock here on WGSO, or see what I had to say on Facebook at William Wallace for America.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I've got made contact with my guest, so I'm going to go straight to the hotline. Joining me is Congressman Joseph Gao. Now, I know a lot of people are going to instantly recognize that name. On the other hand, if you don't recognize a name, let me give you a little bit of history. Louisiana's second congressional district is a majority-minority district. And no Republican has held that seat from 1890 until the present day, except one. And that was Joseph Gao, who became the first, not only Republican to hold it 100 years, he became the first Vietnamese American ever to be elected to the United States Congress. And he did that in the election of 2008, and he assumed his seat in 2009. Now, if you want to Google Congressman Gao, and it's C-A-O, Fascinating story. We share a couple of things. Number one, we're both graduates of the Loyola Law School. And number two, we are both staunchly pro-life. Now, no two Republicans are going to be exactly the same on any of the viewpoints, but Congressman Gao has made a lot of history in a lot of ways. So let me stop rambling and say hello. How are you doing, Congressman?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much, John.
Okay. Now, most people don't know that you have a pretty successful law firm that's based in Harvey, Louisiana. Is that right?
That's correct. I've been practicing law since 2000, and we represent, well, we basically have a general practice because the most of our clients are Vietnamese American, and they basically contact us for all the issues under the sun.
Yeah, so you're definitely a general practice law firm. You don't restrict your practice to certain areas, do you?
No, we don't restrict. A lot of our clients deal with immigration issues because obviously many of our clients are Vietnamese. And then at the same time, we also represent small businesses, represent you know, business transactions, things along those lines.
Okay. And one of the things I'd love to talk to you about, I know you're under a gag order, is you and I are both passionate about the insane amount of regulation that Louisiana puts people who just want to make an honest living through. For example, if you want to be a shampoo assistant in Louisiana, you need a special permit authorizing the performing of shampooing shall be issued to any person who successfully completed at least 40 hours of training in shampooing, draping, and rinsing at a cosmetology school approved by the Louisiana Cosmetology Board. Now, I think of all the mothers out there who wash their newborn baby's hair. I'm pretty sure no sane person has 40 hours of training in how to shampoo hair, unless you want to practice in Louisiana. And, you know, I know you've done a lot against the Cosmetology Board, and I know you can't talk about it. I just wanted to throw that out there as something that you're passionate about, because it gives people the idea that you're on the side of the little guy. I know that you were when you were in Congress, you tried to get a lot more FEMA money and a lot more federal money for Louisiana in general and your district in particular. Is that so?
That is correct. When I was 42 years that I was in the House, I was able to free over $1 billion, I believe, if I remember correctly, of FEMA money to help rebuild the devastations that we suffered as a result of Hurricane Katrina. So we, you know, I was very proud of that, and I hope to continue serving the people of Louisiana sometime in the near future.
Well, we'll get to that in just one second. One more point is FEMA did not make it easy on you. I did some research for this segment. I love when you told that FEMA guy from Philadelphia how many hurricanes have hit Philadelphia. Bureaucrats get really up. You know, they get high and mighty.
Right.
Okay, but
well,
you... I'm sorry, go
well,
ahead, please.
The people from the north, they don't know the level of suffering that the people down here have suffered because of hurricanes, especially after Hurricane Katrina. And in order for them to understand, they have to have people tell them about the suffering, and because I lost everything after Katrina, I was able to convey to them in certain terms that they can very well understand.
Yeah, was going to talk about it later in the show today. I still hope to get to it. But the people in Lake Charles that are suffering from Hurricane Laura, as of May 1st, I read that FEMA is going to start charging them rent for their trailers. And I'm thinking the federal government hasn't paid them all the money they need, but they're going to start charging them rent to live in FEMA trailers. What's your take on that?
Again, I think that that is absolutely outrageous, given the fact that many of these people, if they have to live in trailers, already lost everything. So I don't see how FEMA can morally require people to pay rent if they don't have anything in order to pay. I mean, we printed money in the trillions after COVID, and I don't see how a little bit of that money can be applied to the people that are presently living in trailers after Hurricane Ida.
Yeah, it's really over the top, and the burden of proof is on the renter instead of FEMA. They're going to start charging what is described as U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development fair market rent value, which, like you, I find that pretty morally outrageous. But putting all that aside, none of that, actually, I'm down to 2 minutes left in this segment. Well, I want to keep you on, but can I keep you over the break since I've got less than 2 minutes?
Sure.
Okay. Well, instead of going ahead and making the big announcement with a minute and 46 seconds left, let's delay that to the bottom of the hour. And besides your big announcement, I imagine that you're keeping busy. Is there anything going on besides the announcement that you'd like to talk about?
Well, you know, I recently had a son about 3 years ago. My son is my third child, and my son is around 14 and a half years apart from my second child. So at the age of 53, I'm presently 55 now, but at the age of 55, I find myself being a daddy again. And you know, I thoroughly enjoy it. I think that at this age, I can appreciate being a father than when I was 30, just graduated from law school. You know, at that time, I was very much occupied in trying to pay off the mortgage, trying to pay off all the debts from law school. Now, everything has been paid off. I can enjoy focusing myself being a father, and I must say that being a father at 55 has been quite a blessing for me.
I can't believe you survived the terrible twos in your 50s. Okay, we're at the bottom of the hour break. Please, I'm going to put Congressman on hold, and we'll be right back after the bottom of the hour break. Please stay with us.
Hey, Dad, how do airplanes fly? What's in this box? Can I touch this? Where does sand come from? Is this tree good for climbing? What happens if I mix these two things together? How are babies made? What does this thing do?
Kids are curious about everything, including guns. Talking to them about gun safety in your home is a good first step, but you can do more. Always keep your guns locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Storing your guns securely is the best way to prevent family fire, including unintentional shootings. For more information on safe gun storage and ways to keep your family safe, visit endfamilyfire.org. That's endfamilyfire.org.
What do we keep in the attic? What's this thing called? Can I ride my bike backwards?
Like I said, kids are curious. It's up to us to keep them safe. Brought to you by End Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
Hi, everybody. I'm Kristen Chenoweth. When our servicemen and women return from war, they often carry wounds that the rest of us cannot see. Up to one in five veterans who served in Iraq and Afghanistan are diagnosed with post-traumatic stress. And often, even the best treatment, including medication and therapy, they fall short. Sadly, more than 6,000 veterans die every year from suicide. Thanks to the life-saving power of the human-animal bond, professionally trained service dogs can help. But connecting a veteran with a well-trained service dog can be difficult. Waitlists are long, and training can cost tens of thousands of dollars. But service dogs can bring healing. If you're a veteran or know a veteran struggling with post-traumatic stress or traumatic brain injury, please go to AmericanHumane.org to learn about their Pups for Patriots program, which provides dogs to veterans for free of charge. Let's help our veterans heal from the invisible wounds of war.
Louisiana Radio Network. I'm Brooke Thorington. The National Weather Service says it was at least an EF3 tornado with winds of at least 135 miles per hour that caused significant damage in Araby and St. Bernard Parish Tuesday night. So far, only one storm-related death has been reported. Governor Edwards is touring the storm-ravaged area and meeting with local responders. He will hold a press conference at 1:30. He's already declared a state of emergency for St. Bernard, Orleans, Jefferson, and St. Tammany parishes. The HUD announcement of $450 million for those recovering in southwest Louisiana from 2020's Hurricane Laura is welcome news in Calcasieu Parish. Alberto Galan, who's overseeing long-term recovery, says while the state is waiting on the funds, those in need can fill out a survey. At the state's Office of Community Development, he says the survey is quick and easy.
So that folks can get in the system and can get contacted as folks become eligible, as programs start to roll out, so that the state can identify particular people that have a need.
LRN.
Tiger Rag. Three-time Home Depot Coach of the Year. Two-time AP College Football Coach of the Year. 11 seasons at Notre Dame. Two college football playoff appearances. And now, the head coach of the LSU Tigers, Brian Kelly.
What the fadizzle?
I know LSU fans will love Brian
Kelly. I'm excited.
Success follows him everywhere he goes. All he does is win.
The winningest coach in Notre Dame history.
Tiger Rag Magazine will be there as LSU ushers in a new era on the gridiron.
He wants to win a championship.
His plan to take this program to the next level.
I want to be
the same as ours.
Under the bright lights.
Not here to taste success.
I want to be.
He's here to sustain.
On the Broadway stage.
Shows where LSU is as a program right now.
We have a lot of talent and a lot of talent coming in.
Super excited.
I want the fans here early, tailgating and having a great time and filling the stadium and being enthusiastic.
Find Tiger Rag on newsstands and online at TigerRag.com.
Live it, love it, defend it. Life needs you today. This is the Louisiana Life Minute.
Hi, I'm Ben Clapper with Louisiana Right to Life. The pro-abortion movement has strived for decades to label abortion as a symbol of freedom. The outcome of legalized abortion, though, has led to the opposite. Studies show that the majority of abortions take place after the woman has been coerced. This pressure often comes from a partner or even a parent. This means that women are not making the decision because it is actually what they want. They are having an abortion because they feel they have no other choice. Coercion can be subtle, such as the perception from a partner of abandonment, or coercion can be more dangerous, including threats of physical abuse. Women have been lied to by the abortion industry, and they deserve better than abortion. You may be the voice that can empower a woman with the confidence to resist the pressure and choose life for them and their baby. If you know a pregnant woman in need of help, visit us at prolifelouisiana.org.
My name is Eric Schein. I'm a former naval officer, a graduate of the United States Merchant Marine Academy at Kings Point, and former officer in the United States Merchant Marine. Listen to my program Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time on WGSO AM 990. We get into the United States Merchant Marine, American flag shipping, the ports, and even things like the Council on Foreign Relations, which is very important information. Must listen in.
Hello, this is David Jeremiah. Join me each weekday morning at 5:30 or 6:30 for Turning Point here on Talk Radio 990 AM.
More and more Americans are listening on American ground. Listen each Saturday from noon to 1 p.m. with Louis R. Avalone and Stephen Parr.
Join me, Mitch Gibbs, every Monday from noon to 1 p.m. live on WGSO Radio for a brand new season of In the Paint.
This is the Big
John Mason Show. Heard on 540 AM KTIB, 1020 AM WHMD, 1540 AM KAGY, 1560 AM WSLA, 88.5 FM KJFM, and 990 AM WGSO. Come talk to Big John about the big ideas of the day in a convivial atmosphere. He's a real conservative, not one of those country club Republicans. He's pro-family, pro-education, pro-business, pro-life, pro-Second Amendment. And he loves his mama, too. Now here's your host, the big guy himself, John Mason.
Hey, guys, welcome back. In case you were just joining us, I have Congressperson Joseph Gao on the line, and he's got a pretty big announcement. So I'm going to let him announce it, and then I'll talk about what it is and why it's important.
Yes, I would like to announce that this November I will be running for the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals, and I would appreciate if the people in the district would vote for me. You know, my record as a congressman show that I will do whatever I can for the best of the people, and as judge, I will decide based on the merits of the case and not on whether or not the person is black or white or yellow. You know, as people say, justice is blind, and hopefully I will be that person on the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals.
Okay, and the Fourth Circuit is New Orleans, Plaquemines, and St. Bernard, where, of course, they're still recovering from the tornado. Thoughts and prayers with the people of St. Bernard Parish. But correct me if I'm wrong, in addition to managing your own law firm, you have been a lawyer now for over 20 years, two decades. Is that correct?
That is correct. That is correct. I've been a lawyer for over two decades, and I love being a lawyer. You know,
so do I.
You know, there's a saying, people hate lawyers until they need one.
Yep, yep.
And I have to say that, you know, contrary to what other people might perceive of a lawyer, being a lawyer, you're able to help a lot of people, and I enjoy doing that.
Absolutely. And the longer you're a lawyer, the more you come to appreciate how delicate and finely interwoven our legal system is, especially here in Louisiana, because the rest of the country is mostly on English common law, and we still have a large part of the Napoleonic Code. So our law's always a little different. I would also like to point out to people in the audience that it's not like you were majored in basket weaving or art appreciation. Your bachelor's degree is actually in physics, isn't it?
That is correct. And I also have a master's in philosophy. You know, I am a philosopher by training. I enjoy thinking about the questions of life. I enjoy thinking about ethical issues. And that is the reason why I'm staunchly pro-life.
I agree with you there 100%. I'm a staunch pro-life supporter as well. And ladies and gentlemen, I would submit to you that thinking about the purpose and meaning and interplays in life, that kind of introspection, in my opinion, are exactly the qualities you want in a judge. So I'm going to throw that out there. The last thing you want is a judge that rules 100% on feelings and emotions and makes a ruling off the hip. I know I've come across a couple of judges that seem to fit that bill, and they're what turns lawyers' hair gray. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, you want a judge that understands the law and applies it consistently.
And I absolutely agree. You know, Many of the judges out there, they are extremely bright, but as you say, oftentimes they might be subject to certain emotions or, again, whether or not their morality corresponds with us pro-lifers, it's very hard to say. But as a judge, I believe that if you value life, if you value a person at every stage of their life, whether they are newly born, whether they are old, if you value life at all stage of life, then you will be able to make the right decisions for the people.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's why elder law is such a burgeoning field. Personally, I think that the United States and Louisiana seems to be a lucky exception. We don't value our elderly nearly enough.
Well, you know, within the Asian community, there is a a tradition where we basically view our elders as someone that we need to emulate, someone that we need to follow. You know, my mother, she passed away a little bit over 3 years ago. She only had a third grade level of education, but I must tell you, she was one of the wisest people that I've ever met. So we cannot make a judgment of people based on what kind of degrees they have, what kind of, level of education that they have, because I can tell you some of the wisest people that I've met have very little or even sometimes no education. So again, education is important, but I believe that a person's life experience is also equally important in allowing that person to make the right choices and to make the right decisions.
There's absolutely nothing I disagree with in that statement. Now, I am going to put you on the spot a little bit. In Louisiana, you said you were 55. In Louisiana, when we turn 70, we throw our judges off the bench. And that has... A, I still don't understand how I've read the arguments. I quote-unquote understand the argument. That just strikes me as age discrimination. It seems to me that we lose some of our brightest minds because we say you're too old to be a judge. We don't say you're too old to be a senator or too old to be a representative or too old to be a governor or too old to be a president. Why do we say that you're too old to be a judge? And I know I'm kind of putting you on the spot, but I'd love to hear your theory.
To tell you the truth, John, I don't have a theory on that. Again, federal judges are appointed for life. They can be a federal judge until the day they die. So
that's
I don't
correct.
See why a state-level judge can also serve beyond the age of 70. Again, I don't know the rationale for that. I don't know why the legislature created that law, but from where I stand, that's absolutely unfair. And again, I would probably agree with you that there might be an issue of age discrimination there.
It seems to be facially age discrimination. I mean, that's a prima facie case, but... Again, I digress. When I was at Loyola, I had my constitutional law professor tell me the only thing worse than an appointed judge was an elected judge, and the only thing worse than an elected judge was an appointed judge. And it took me a couple of years to figure out what he was talking about, but there really isn't a perfect way to select a judge. And in Louisiana, I think we find a pretty good median in that our highest judges are elected for 10-year terms, which means that unless your election's only a year away, you have that job security, but it's not necessarily a lifetime commitment. Thoughts?
I believe that a if judges are elected, I believe that a 10-year term is a good period to serve and to not have to worry about re-elections. Because when I was in Congress, the House, we have to rerun every 2 years. And I must say that for many members, the thought of re-election was always on their mind. And as a member of Congress, many of them spent half of their time trying to raise money for re-election. And I don't agree with that. I you know, if a person is elected to serve in a public office, they should be afforded adequate time.
Congressman, I hate to cut you off. I got 15 seconds left in the segment. I'd love to hold you over into the last one. Is that okay?
That's fine, yeah.
Okay. All right. We'll be right back for the fourth and final segment of the Big John Mason Show after this brief commercial break.
Jeff Carrere, join me at 7 a.m. till 11 right here on WGSO 990 a.m. or Ringside Politics with a Punch. We're going to be bringing you great guests. We'll discuss the latest hot topics and, of course, taking your phone calls. On Thursday, Colonel Alan West joins us. Steve Konis, Ringside Creative Director, will check in with the new parody. And we'll discuss the hot topics of the week with Ringside All-Star Josh Burns. Bernstein. All of that and more right here on Ringside from 7 to 11 on WGSO.
Join me, Mitch Gibbs, every Monday from noon to 1 p.m. live on WGSO Radio for a brand new season of In the Paint.
Hi, this is Kevin Carr, host of Fat Guys at the Movies. Listen every Sunday at 8 p.m. on WGSO 990 a.m., the community voice of the Crescent City.
Rebecca Chapman, who is the general manager, Jimmy Setchum, who is the executive chef at Broussard's restaurant, one of the most beautiful restaurants in New Orleans, because Broussard's is a true New Orleans restaurant, and you guys are both New Orleanians.
It's such a pleasure and an honor to be a part of the history and culture at Broussard's.
If you haven't been there lately, you need to correct that problem. Get over there. They got the 1920 special, which is the date of the founding of Broussard's, on wines and on food.
Broussard's restaurant, 819 Conti in the heart of the French Quarter.
God, family, and country. Unfortunately, in today's society, God is no longer the center of both the family and country. But on Monday, December 6th at 8 p.m., that will all change, because we're putting God and patriotism back in the center of everything. Join me, John Swisher, a.k.a. the Flaming Conservative, host of my new show, Holy and Patriotic Jambalaya, Monday nights at 8 p.m. on WGSO, WGSO.com, and Facebook Live. Come and get you some.
Hey, Mimi, we're moving.
Moving to Wednesdays at 5.
You can check out He Said, She Said on a new day.
Hump Day.
A new day, but we'll still be discussing and debating the hot topics.
And take your phone call.
You can listen to us on 990 AM WGSO, WGSO.com.
And find out who's right. Of course, that's me.
No, of course, that's me. I've been doing this 23 years, Mimi.
Practice makes perfect.
So you see, we'll have plenty to talk about on He Said, She Said.
Wednesdays at 5.
Right here on WGSO.
A powerful threat calls for a greater response.
Not tomorrow.
Not in a few years.
But right now.
Some battles must be faced together. Cancer fighters stand up to cancer every day. And you can be part of this battle too.
Visit standuptocancer.org to learn more.
Together, we can save lives.
Join me, BJ Rust, every weekday at 6 p.m. for the Something to Say radio show. We'll talk sports, music, current events, everything in between. That's weekdays, 6 p.m. only on WGSO 990 AM.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Big John Mason Show. And if you're just joining us, I've been privileged to have Congressman Joseph Gao, who has just announced a run on this show for the Louisiana Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals. It's an appellate judge position, and it hears appeals from Orleans, St. Bernard, and Plaquemines Parish. And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but we had a break, Congressman. But one of the things I never asked you, as my producer pointed out, is what made you decide to run?
Again, I'm a very spiritual person. I go to church every day. And I believe that there is a purpose that God's intent for every one of us. Personally, I believe that I'm called to public service. And my run for the Court of Appeals is another way for me to serve the public. And I enjoy my time when I was in Congress. I enjoy helping people, and I believe that running to be a judge will enable me to continue doing that.
And, you know, I'm a native of New Orleans. A lot of the Fourth Circuit decisions, because New Orleans is such a major economic engine, a lot of Fourth Circuit decisions ring throughout the state. There's a lot of cases brought in Orleans Parish because it's so big, and there's a lot of cases that are appealed to the Fourth Circuit. So, ladies and gentlemen, these are some large, business-oriented, important decisions, and I think having an experienced lawyer and a congressman on the bench can't be anything but a good thing. I can't think of a single drawback to having someone that has served both as an attorney and in Congress on the Fourth Circuit. And I know you can't comment on anything you are likely to rule on, but being an attorney for a general practice firm, I imagine you've done a bunch of cases in a bunch of fields. Are there any fields you want to emphasize or any cases you want to emphasize?
You know, some of the most memorable cases that I've been involved with, as you stated, I represented the Vietnamese nail salon owners against the Louisiana Board of Cosmetology. And that case was a very difficult case in the sense that it involved a very complex set of laws. But it was one of those circumstances where, you know, an organization under the color of state was abusing people, was trying to take advantage of small business owners, and we were able to address those issues and prevent that from happening. So that was one of my most memorable cases, and also one of the cases that I'm most proud of.
Yeah, and Louisiana, for being a conservative or a quote-unquote red state, Louisiana has some of the most burdensome regulations in the United States, ladies and gentlemen. The sheer number of licenses you need, as I mentioned earlier, I'm not talking about requiring a law license to practice law. Everyone can accept that. I'm not talking about having to have a medical license to be a surgeon. Everyone can accept that. Why do you need to have a florist license to be a florist? If you want to work in a grocery store and arrange some flowers, or you're a stay-at-home mom and you want to make some extra money, why do you need to have a license to be a florist? What do you think about our level of regulation in general?
Well, I believe that the more regulations that we have, the more impediment we pose to people being able to support themselves, to start a small business. And it's up to our legislature, and more particularly, you know, our governor, to reduce the amount of regulations that we have here to draw businesses to the state. You know, if you look at our economic history, for the past several years, we have people moving out of state rather than coming in. We lost a congressional seat several years back. That's because we lost close to a million people, people moving out of the state rather than coming in. So for us to grow as a state, for us to be able to enable people to have a business and to be successful, we need to reduce the amount of regulations that we have here in the state. Now, I live here in New Orleans. I mean, we are under all kinds of red tape in New Orleans. I have a lot of friends who in the construction business, and I just spoke with one just a couple of days ago, and he was telling me how burdensome it is to do construction in the city of New Orleans now. I hope that we can get away from that. I hope that we can get away from all this red tape to enable people to do business, to make money, and to be able to support themselves.
Amen. I mean, that is music to my ears. And as he pointed out, ladies and gentlemen, we did lose a seat in Congress. And if our current rate of people moving out versus people moving in continues, in 2030, it's possible we could lose another seat. And I'm going to put you on the spot. I had to do some research. Do you know the last time Louisiana gained a seat? It was back in 1910.
That's 100 years.
It is. It's over 100 years. And
yeah.
It's a shame. We have great weather. We have so many natural resources. We've got food. We've got culture. We've got oil. We've got gas. There is no reason we should be losing people except our government. And, you know, I've been preaching for a long time that we can turn this around. And hopefully we will this time. We've got a lot of momentum behind us, but we do need our leaders to stand up for us. As I was talking about earlier, as you mentioned, it's unconscionable that people who were recovering from Hurricane Laura and Delta in southwest Louisiana are going to have to pay fair market rent value for their trailers. That's just not right. And look, I certainly don't want to get into the Russia-Ukraine thing, but in this $1.5 trillion proposed spending bill, there's nothing in it for southwest Louisiana. These people are still waiting on hurricane relief, and we're getting zero.
Yeah, and that is unfortunate. And you know, our congressional leaders have to address that very particular issue to FEMA. Let them understand that people who have lost everything need as much help as the people in Ukraine. You know, I'm a refugee. When I look at the war in Ukraine now, it brings me back my own memories when I was a child. You know, at 8 years old, I was hiding under a bed in order to not being killed by bombardment. So I fully understand and I fully resonate with the suffering of the people in Ukraine. But at the same time, we have people who are suffering here in Louisiana, and our people's suffering must also be addressed.
Addressed, absolutely. Okay, I'm down to 23 seconds left. I'd like to thank you so much for coming on the show, Congressman. I'm going to try to have you on again if you'll come before the election. I wish you nothing but the best of luck in your quest to be elected to the Louisiana Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals.
Well, thank you very much, John, for having me on your show. And I hope that your listeners will consider me this November and vote for me to the Fourth Circuit.
All right. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That's all for today's edition of the Big John Mason Show.
These are the moments that bring us to our feet.
But the most important moment happens when we all stand together.
United for a great cause.
We once again join our partners Stand Up to Cancer in reaffirming a commitment to the fight against cancer. Since 2008, Major League Baseball, its fans, players, and coaches have delivered a powerful, determined message that we, together, will defeat cancer.
I'm Matt Damon.
I'm Candace Patton.
Joe Manganiello.
Jordana Brewster.
Zachary Levi.
I'm Uzo Aduba.
Cancer has in some way touched all of us.
So join Major League Baseball and Stand Up to Cancer as we stand in honor of all loved ones affected by this disease.
Visit standuptocancer.org/MLB.
Stand up with us.
Looking for future leaders we can trust and believe in? Look no further than the high school student athletes right here in Louisiana. High school sports teach young people how to be effective leaders. It begins by making their grades and being on time for practice. It includes learning to listen, following directions, accepting responsibility, being a good role model. And it's about respect for officials, opponents, the rules, and each other. The result? It transcends sports. It gives us hope for the future. High school sports, there's so much more than just a game. This message presented by the Louisiana High School Athletic Association and the Louisiana High School Athletic Directors Association.
The best in wining and dining daily. It's the Dine, Wine, and Spirit Show with Tim McNally from 4 to 5 p.m. on WGSO 990 AM New Orleans.
USA Radio News with John Hunt.
As the Senate confirmation hearings continue for U.S. Supreme Court nominee Ketanji Brown Jackson, she was questioned by Republican U.S. Senator Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee in light of the growing controversy surrounding biological males who identify as female.
Can I provide a definition?
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah.
I can't.
You can't?
Not in this context.
So
I'm not a biologist.
The meaning of the word woman is so unclear and controversial that you can't give me a definition?
Senator, in my work as a judge, what I do is I address disputes. If there's a dispute about a definition, people make arguments, and I look at the law.
As the Senate confirmation hearings continue, President Joe Biden has headed to Europe as he tries to keep NATO allies and other European partners united against Russian President Vladimir Putin and his invasion of Ukraine. This is USA Radio News.